KI-7 QMD mobile monitoring 19. KI-7 QMD mobile monitoring 19. Link system.
Good morning, Mr. Rick. I'm still on the link system this time.
Good morning, Jim. I'm just pulling into the backside of Petoskey here. How you doing?
Well, I didn't get back to you yesterday. I heard you call again, but I figured I'd just let the repeater drop there. So sorry about that yesterday. ACAPG.
No need to be sorry. I was out the door real early yesterday and the same today, so I didn't expect anybody to necessarily be out there. Just figured I'd put my call sign out in case there was.
All right, well, yeah, you're up early if you're already into Petoskey. So, hey, I'll start with you real quick. Just wanted to say good morning to you, I'll listen up.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure talking to you, 73. I'm going to put a call out for KF8FDZ. This is KI7QMD Mobile. KF8FDZ, this is KI7QMD Mobile on 19 link system. KF8FDZ, this is KI7QMD Mobile on 19.
Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, listening on the Northern Michigan Link via the Petoskey repeater.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Jim. I'm ATMH, mobile.
Hey, mobile, Mr. Drake. Always mobile. Hey, I wanted to thank you for kind of turning me on to fiber optic media converters. I'm having fun learning about them.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I like fiber. Fiber's great. You know, you can just choose a generic kind of fiber that, or single mode or multi-mode. You just got to make sure you choose which of those. But they'll do pretty much whatever speed your transceivers are capable of. You don't have to have a certain category, you know, cable or whatever, like you do for Ethernet. And my favorite part is they're not electrically connected. It's really great for isolating.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm experimenting, per your recommendation a week ago or so. You know, it's kind of fun. Those transceivers, you got to, well, if you use a bidirectional cable or a single cable, you got to buy them in pairs. I learned that.
Yes, you do. And with the bidirectional ones that use a single fiber, you got to buy one transceiver that is a certain wavelength for transmit and receive, and then you got to make sure the other one is the opposite, so that way they're not talking on the same wavelength.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that through my mind, but once I figured out it's kind of like, you know, a duplexer on a repeater. You're mixing two signals. One's got to go to the receiver, and one's got to go to the transmitter, and you got to do the opposite at the other end. Once I figured that out, everything kind of clicked.
Yeah, it's pretty great. That's why I like fiber. Plus, the cables are nice and small and really easy to fit under baseboards or whatever, which is what I used it for. I don't know if I'm going to be, I don't know. With this new place that I'm moving into tomorrow, it's got drop ceiling pretty much everywhere that I care about. I may just do Cat 5 or Cat 6 to everything just to make that a little bit simpler. And there's even some old phone jacks that I may repurpose to turn those into Ethernet jacks. That would be kind of useful.
Yeah, that's kind of what I kind of figured out is the little media converter boxes, you got to match it to the Ethernet that you want. A lot of the old ones are 10/100s, and then the newer ones are 10/100/1000, and then 10G. I don't know what actually operates at 10G, but hey.
10G, that's 10 gigabit. So that's really fast.
Yeah, the little boxes I bought are the 10/100/1000. So I guess they're rated at gigabyte, I guess. But the transceivers are interesting. They're rated at 1.25 gig. So who knows? They say as long as you match the transceiver pair, the gaz in and the gaz out, you're okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much true about any transceiver you get. As long as they are a pair, they'll work together. The only thing is that another thing you want to look at is you want to make sure you don't buy a transceiver that is designed for long distances, and you don't end up using it for long distance because you'll actually burn out the receiver on the transceiver. One way you can get around this is by either putting an attenuator on it, or you can even go in and turn the power down. But you can't turn it down a whole lot. There's only so much adjustment.
Yes, I mean, some of the single-mode transceivers, some are rated at 3 kilometers, and some are rated at 12 kilometers, and some are rated at 20 kilometers. I really don't know which ones I bought. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out when I get them.
Well, there you go. So now you're going to do fiber from your house to your solar barn?
Yeah, and it's kind of neat, the interface fiber media converter boxes I got. Let's see, at the house side, it's just one Ethernet goes in and one fiber SFP outlet going out. But then at the solar shack, the media converter actually is a switch that has 5 Ethernet ports available. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, that is pretty convenient. There you go. Yeah, my router right now doesn't have SFP ports on it, but I'm thinking about maybe upgrading that so I can have at least one SFP port so I can run that between my switch and my office and the router. Because right now I've got It's just a Cat 6 cable going from the switch to the router. And I want to be able to do 2.5 gig because my computer's got a 2.5 gig port on. My NAS is 2.5 gig, so I want to be able to take advantage of the 2.5 gig speed, especially with doing file backups all the time. I have my computer's backup like every hour or so if they're running. So that way, every time if I have to restore anything, it's always very up to date.
Yeah, the other thing that I learned, at least over the weekend, is most of these SFP transceivers, most of them are designed for the Lucent connector, the LC connector for the fiber. I did not go that route. I went the one generation older, I went the SC connector. It's just it's a bigger connector that my fingers can fit around.
I don't know if I've messed with these ones, actually. So, I've messed with the LC ones, just not the SC ones. But anyway. I'll be right back. I'm just pulling into the gas station. Any gimmick?
Alpha Charlie Delta Golf. Sitting here at my radio station.
K8BCW.
AB9NN mobile monitoring. AB9NN mobile monitoring. KCACNQ testing out a radio anyway.
Hi, good afternoon. Sounds like you're making it into the repeater.
Well, I'm glad. I'm not too far away from the repeater, but we just bought some new radios and I got a connection on this thing, and I wasn't sure about the radio itself, so at least I know this is going to work. But I just got a couple more connections that I got to buy, or plugs that I got to buy, and I don't really know what in the world they are, but I'll find out.
Roger. Yeah, maybe you can look up the repair manual on the internet for that model.
What I'm looking for is a two-piece connection, one that's going to stay in the bow thing, which is, a BNC, or an SNA plug, and then it's going to connect to a disconnect, which goes to the 239, and I don't know exactly what they actually call those things.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, at least I got this one working anyways, because it'll be in the car. The house, that's no big deal, because I can plug that right on in the other direction. But anyway, hey, thank you very much. We're out here in the car with no jacket on. Just wanted to see if this thing was going to work.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're just about back at our home QTH, so I'm going to let you go. thanks for the ride-along, and good luck with your research, AB9 and then mobile. I'll be clear on your final. Have a great day.
All right, ACHCMT over here in Lewiston.
Oh, and by the way, we have a weekly net 8:30 Wednesday nights at every week for the BarfNet, Ben's the Area Radio Friends Net, and we also meet as a club the last Saturday of the month, which is this Saturday coming up, at the Platte River Inn and in Hunter at 9 o'clock in the morning. So be welcome to join us. Have a great day. AB9NN.
KABCW.
Hey, Bentley, how's it going? AQMH, mobile.
Good afternoon, Drake. What's going on in your world?
I'm going home. That's what's going on.
Yeah, buddy. Best part of the day.
And my... How many days? I'm off until next Wednesday. My 8-day weekend begins now.
Are you moving this on this 8-day weekend or doing something more fun?
I am moving. It's not a vacation. It's just a break from work to do other different kinds of work.
Yeah, we commonly refer to that as adulting, and it never ends, man.
It's just wonderful.
Well, hopefully your new place is cool and a good domicile for you, and you're going to be happy there. Are you staying in the Traverse City area?
Yep, I'm just moving to a place that's cheaper. I won't have any neighbors that are on the other side of the wall from me, which will be nice. It's just an apartment that's attached to the house, to a house, and it's just, the only part that is attached to the apartment is like the garage, and there's no direct way to get into the garage from the apartment. So, it's kind of like a really small house attached to a garage, but also has a slightly bigger house attached to it.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's awesome. You know, once you move out of a place that had people on three or four sides of you, you're never going to want to go back to that.
Oh, yeah. I kind of established before I moved into the place that I'm in right now that I didn't really want that. But, unfortunately, I quickly discovered that I didn't really have an option at that time. So that was the only place that was available. So I had to take it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. We've all been there. My daughter, her job just moved her from Metro Detroit area down to the St. Petersburg, Florida, outside of Tampa. Same kind of thing. I mean, she had to find a place to move. She moved into this big apartment complex of really nice apartments, and it's got, you know, nice amenities and all of that. But we went down and visited her between Christmas and New Year's, and, man, at my age, I just couldn't imagine having to be around that many people. It's just not my cup of tea anymore. But she likes it. She's doing well, and it's all good. So as long as she's happy.
Yep, and that's what matters, too. As long as you're happy with the spot you're in, that is A-okay. I didn't mind my place too much. It was just kind of expensive. And the cheaper place came along, and my friend's going to be my neighbor. Well, now I'm going to have two neighbors that are my friends, and because my landlord's pretty awesome. He lets us use his barn that's behind his house as like a little electronic shop. That's where we modify all the repeaters and tune everything up for him. We've got a whole bench set up for that. So, he's kind of a cool guy. So, two of my friends will be my neighbors. I'll be 6 minutes from the shop for work. Walking distance from Taco Bell, and there's a 7-Eleven. Can't complain about that too much.
Oh, man, you got all the bases covered. That's awesome, man. Well, congratulations. I hope you don't work your butt off too hard this weekend moving all your stuff. Just remember, the more times you move, the more stuff you end up collecting and have to move. So enjoy the little pickup truck moves now while you can, because someday you're gonna be moving and wondering how you collected so much junk.
Unfortunately, I've already reached that point. My office kind of turned into like an office / storage place, and it's not really organized at the moment, which I've been working on organizing things while putting them in the boxes so I can, it's easier to move everything, but I'm like, dude, I didn't have this much stuff, and now I do.
Brother, it only gets worse. I have boxes in this house that I've lived in for 23 years that we haven't opened since we moved here last time from the last place. And I'm secretly throwing them out so my wife doesn't know, and she won't ever miss them. And I wonder, why are we saving this stuff? And I'll be damned if I'm going to move it one more time.
Hey, where did this box go? What box? I don't know what box you're talking about.
Yeah, that's been said so many times, I think she's on to me finally.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can only do that so many times before you get caught, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't say my wife is a hoarder, but she's a pack rat, and she has a hard time letting go. I've got a lot of stuff, but it's all useful stuff, you know, tools and things like that, or, you know, even pieces of dimensional lumber that are left over that'll come in handy one of these days, right? But my goal is to throw something away every week, and I try to stick to that.
Throw it away or sell it? Sell it is the better option if it's got value.
Well, as an example, I used to be big time into 35mm and digital SLR photography, and I blew the dust off of a couple of boxes that had all my old camera bodies and lenses in it, and found a company that buys that stuff, and you know, uploaded all of the details of every piece of equipment that I thought was actually usable and marketable, and I don't know, probably spent $3,000 or $4,000 on gear, you know, 20 years ago, and I'm going to get a whole $400 for that stuff now.
Unfortunately, that is the, technology changes. That old technology, not really, worth a whole lot anymore. That happens. I hate that it's the same thing with computers, because my desktop computer is not a cheap machine. I think I've spent recently over the past couple of years, because I've slowly upgraded it to the point where it's at now, and I think all in I'm at 25, maybe three grand. and that's not even including all of the peripherals and everything. It's a pretty solid machine, and I'm telling you right now, in the next, what is it, 4 or 5 years, that's not going to be worth squat.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I didn't expect to get much out of that camera gear. But you know what, $400 is enough to make me feel good about sending it off, and maybe somebody will enjoy it. And I don't have to feel guilty about, you know, throwing it away. On the other hand, when I went out and decided to break down and buy a Windows laptop for the purpose of programming radios, since Macintosh computers are verboten in that community, I was happy that I only had to spend like $200 on a laptop. So, you know, it swings both ways, man.
That works. I don't have either of those operating systems as a daily driver anymore. Well, except for my work laptops, but those don't really count. I fully switched to Linux, and I run Windows in a virtual machine to program radios and my personal laptops. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of nice, you know, using an operating system that doesn't track your every move, that doesn't force you to update right now, or uses, you know, 3/4 of the system's resources doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I really, really admired that old MacBook that you had with Linux running on it. That's pretty cool. I did the same thing with my phone recently. I bought an Android phone and installed Graphene OS on it, and that is really, really slick. And I really enjoy going to bed at night and putting it on my charger on the nightstand. And it's still at 73%. Pretty amazing how long the battery lasts when it's not pinging Google every 0.3 seconds.
Well, put this in perspective. My main operating system, well, on my desktop, was Windows 11 to be specific. And with all of, I would just boot up the machine from a cold start, like completely shut down. Idle memory usage was around 12 to 16 gigs, and I have 32 gigs total in that machine. And I'm like, cool, there's nothing open. Why are we using this much resource? Why are we using this many resources? You know, the CPU usage was pretty low, memory usage was absolutely atrocious, and then, like, say I was playing a game, I had some music going, and I had another, like a few Chrome tabs open or something like that to, you know, look up some of the stuff for whatever game I'm playing, because sometimes we'll mod games and you have to follow the guides to figure out how to do stuff all the time. So I'll have that up, and, you know, I'll have, you know, Discord or TeamSpeak or whatever up on my fourth monitor just to show, you know, so I can see who's talking and the chat and whatnot. And I'm almost full. I'm almost out of memory. Like, now, with Linux, I can do all of that, and I'm only using 10 gigs of RAM. It's kind of, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a difference.
Okay, ECW. Yeah, man, I think the answer to your question, which you already know, is that it's using up all those resources for everything but your own benefit. You know, part of the whole digital profile that's being constantly built on you and stored wherever. I mean, there's a reason they're building these data centers that need gigawatts of electricity. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't so that you can make any memes and post them on social media.
Nope. But the cool thing is that with Linux now, believe it or not, I made my own AI assistant that can do the same things as ChatGPT. It runs all of it locally on my own hardware, and it only phones to the internet when I ask it to. I just select, hey, how does this work, or, like, I can ask it, you know, what's going on in the current world, like, what's the current events, and it will use the web search for that feature, and I can see when it does and when it doesn't, which is really nice. And the cool thing is the UI is the same as ChatGPT. It's just open web UI, and then you, you know, open up the models that you want to use, like Llama 8B or Qwen 314. It's a whole thing, but that was one of my projects before I really started hitting the gas on packing all my stuff up was that, and it worked really well. I was able to have it analyze images. It was able to generate images. Granted, it's using your computer's hardware to do this, so it's not, if you don't have a fast computer, it's going to be slow. You're going to wait for a while, but it was just kind of awesome that I could, you know, I know where my data is going, and I could still achieve roughly the same outcome and doing it all locally. It's pretty cool.
Dang, dude, you're a mad genius. That's awesome. I gotta be honest with you. That's one of the things that scares me most about our world is the direction it's going in because of AI. And I mean, I've seen movies about this stuff, right? We just last year had the Microsoft suite rolled out to us with Copilot, and the extra subscription our company ponied up for all of us, and you know, a bunch of my younger coworkers were all excited about it, and I'm just like, I ain't using any of that stuff. I'm that old crotchety guy in the corner now that everybody wonders why he's so pissed off all the time.
And DMH Mobile. Well, yeah, I don't really use it a whole lot for anything else. I use it mostly for troubleshooting. Like, if I encounter an issue that I can't quite figure out, I will throw what I'm running into ChatGPT or the Llama AI thing that I had set up locally and say, hey, this is the issue I'm running into. What can I try that will fix this problem and whatnot? And you can have it do a web search, and it'll tell you, like, hey, do this. Or, you know, I was having a really hard time with getting network drivers on that MacBook to work. And I tried Googling it around and tried a few commands, and none of those worked, but I just dropped all my issue into ChatGPT, and it figured it out. Granted, it took quite a bit of back and forth, but it came to a usable outcome, which was kind of cool, and that is where I think it's a useful tool. Doing it for other things, like creating those stupid AI videos and stuff like that, like, oof. That's a mess. And then I've even heard that people use it to help, like, people figure out their life problems, which is the last thing I would do.
Yeah, I mean, you basically just saved yourself hours of you know, trial and error search work, and let it scrape the internet for the answer that's lurking out there somewhere, right? So, yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, I read an article recently about the industries that are going to be decimated by AI, and pretty much, you know, every behind-the-desk job that doesn't require hands-on stuff is eventually going to be in jeopardy. What was really interesting was the first industry that's going to suffer is legal. And you think about it, you know, legal is all about researching case law and identifying precedents and crafting an argument based on that case law. That's something that AI is definitely going to be able to take care of. And one of the downfalls of that is that the really, really good lawyers that have all of that experience researching all of that case law and figuring things out and are able to make effective arguments, if you don't have junior partners that are doing that grunt work, they're never going to become capable senior partners if everything's going to be relied upon with AI. that's going to be one of the casualties of that whole mess.
Yep, it's kind of, it's a little scary. It's a useful tool, yes. I don't think it should ever replace jobs. Especially with, at the rate that it makes mistakes. You know, there have been many things that I've, you know, thrown at or spitballed at it, and it comes up with an answer, and I'm like, cool, how did you get this answer? Like, did you, like, just pull it out of thin air? Are you hallucinating? Like, what's going on here? And then eventually, like, you still have to correct it. Like, it's still got to learn, but, like, I don't think it'll ever, I don't know. I don't think it would ever be fit for replacing jobs in that sense, because it's not really trustworthy. I mean, people are going to try, and I know they will, but I don't, in my opinion, I don't think it should, and unfortunately, it probably will.
Okay, Ben, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Wow, from two words you can get my voice. That's pretty good. Well, at least I think it's pretty good. Might be pretty bad. Are you actually making an argument against less lawyers in the world? Am I? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Don't misconstrue my comments. I have no sympathy for lawyers, with deference to any out there who may be listening in. But point being is that's one of the vaunted protected industries out there that I think is going to be very vulnerable to this technology. And, you know, to Drake's point that it shouldn't be used to replace jobs, well, IT shouldn't be used, to send American jobs over to foreign companies or foreign workers because it's a lot cheaper. CEOs and big business are going to do exactly that. They're going to embrace AI to take over jobs, and they'll just deal with the consequences. One of my big concerns is that if we're just going to let AI negotiate contracts and follow the, you know, whatever the written rules are to the letter, we're going to lose the entire relationship that we have between individuals, between businesses, and between companies. And I don't want to be around in the working world when that happens. And I think it's closer in front of us than most people think.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. Hello to you, Drake. Well, my only comment, and I'm bailing here quickly, but my only comment is that, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts, and like most of these things, from self-checkout in the grocery store to a lot of the self-serve kind of things and just the removing of the human element from daily life, people will either accept it or refuse to accept it, and such simple things as, you know, embracing the AI discussion bots on Facebook, which drive me insane, especially in the technical groups. You know, there was one, I saw one in a Motorola group that was like, you know, what are your experiences with Motorola programming? I'm like, and a bunch of people answered. I'm like, stop engaging the AI idiots, you know, and beat up the admins for enabling this stuff. Just resist it as long as you can, because you're right, there are going to be some industries and some fields where it's going to just be unavoidable eventually. But that doesn't mean you got to roll over and help it along. Out shortly, back in a few. Carry on, Drake. Go ahead, WHRP.
Hey, DMHN, Ron, you're exactly right on that. The amount of the AI chatbots that I've seen everywhere, it's just annoying. It's so frustrating. There were a couple of Facebook groups that I was a part of that had it, and I saw it and I was like, nope, I don't want to deal with that. If you need an AI to encourage chatting in your Facebook group or whatever, then you're clearly not doing something right. That's kind of how I feel about it. That should not be a necessary element. And the way I view those groups as is like a bucket full of information that a bunch of people throw things into. The AI is creating nonsense conversation that doesn't really have a purpose, and it's just filling up the bucket with random crap that nobody cares about. Questions about, you know, how do I make this work? How do I make this work? And then having actual people respond with usable answers instead of a random AI chatbot that throws a trivia question out every once in a while. It's a lot more useful. Go ahead, Bentley. And I guess he's gone. Any DMH mobile.
Drake, you read me?
There they are.
Yeah, I think I keyed up when the repeater was identifying and at the same time. Yeah, anyway, I'm glad to hear there are younger people like you and my daughter is another example who are concerned about losing the human element to our interactions and our business and just, you know, being in a social environment, that's what we're designed to do, and I would really hate if we abandon that in favor of letting machines do everything. That's concerning to me.
Yep. And I don't think AI is a horribly bad thing. It can be a very useful tool when used correctly. When used to replace the human element is when it's a problem. So, but like it's supposed to be an assistant. That's why they call it AI assistant. You know, you use it to assist you with something that you're not able to figure it out. It can kind of nudge you along or pull information from, you know, it saves you a lot of time from having to do endless amounts of Google searching to find the answer that you can have it find in 30 seconds. You know, it's a time-saving tool.
Yeah, but you know what, brother? The lazy and the low IQ will end up using it for a crutch.
Unfortunately, that is true. And I guess all I have to say to that is you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%. Hey, by the way, I attended the storm watch training last night at the college in Petoskey. That was a nice program, and that was cool that you guys were a part of, you know, bringing the National Weather Service guy over from Gaylord to have that talk to us.
Oh yeah, man. Especially after the Gaylord tornado happened, that's really when this whole partnership really kicked up because we're able to give them, you know, that information that they don't have that's on the ground. You know, we're on the ground, so we can tell them, hey, there's a tornado here or whatever. And heck, I mean, even back when that tornado happened, we knew it was happening 10 minutes before they even called the warning for it. So if we could have gotten that information to them when, you know, the phones weren't down, if we had direct line communication where they heard radios, then it makes you think, we could have saved lives that day.
Yeah, he was pretty interesting. He was saying that you know, this presentation evolves, and he said, when we have an event locally, we'll replace, you know, a lot of the pictures with the local event. He goes, So you're going to see a lot of pictures from the tornado in Gaylord for 2022.
Yeah, I remember I went to the training the year after that happened, and it was all over it, and you're going to see it for a while until we have another major weather event, so, and you're not wrong about that, but, they're really glad to have all that information that we send them. They eat it up, and so do the news outlets, too. I know Joe Charlevoix eats that up, too, and, I forget the other meteorologists' names, but they use that stuff, and, it's super helpful for them and really everybody, and that's the goal.
Well, let's hope it's a good long time before they have to replace any of that stuff on their presentation, because I don't think anybody wants to see that repeated anytime soon. But, I'm interested in keeping an eye on the skies and maybe help this year. So appreciate you guys making that kind of driving that whole thing to make it available to us in our community. That's pretty cool.
Yep, it's I just think it's kind of fun too to be able to help out in that regard as well. It's benefiting others and it's also fun at the same time. That's why I do it. And then it gives me an excuse to use this infrastructure that we have in place specifically for this purpose, to use it for Oxcom, Skyward situations, and everything else in between there. So, just another excuse to play, but also be serious at the same time.
Yeah, play walkie-talkies, like my wife says.
Okay, that's a cruel way of putting it, but yes.
All right, Ben Boy, I'll let you go, and work too hard this long weekend, moving all your stuff, and do what you can to enjoy it. KBCW.
Hey, man, yeah, sounds good. We'll catch you later. 7-3. Hey, EMH. Mobile.
I have returned. W8RPM.
Hey, BCW, how you doing, Ron?
I actually have a few minutes in the car. Probably 20 minutes or so. Not a terrible day out here. I mean, it's gloomy. But the car says it's 40 degrees, so it's certainly best in the driveway, but, that's unavoidable this time of year. The AI dilemma, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I don't want to hash that through anymore, but it does concern me for the next generation and what they're going to have to deal with on that stuff.
Well, as you well know, I'm a very much a free market kind of guy, and I think that the best government is the least government, but I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to some sort of moderation regulation, but again, you can't, government can screw up a one-car funeral, they can brothel, as they've proven in the past. So, and even this is something that needs to be a national level, if not on the global level. But you don't want to hamstring development either. But anyway, enough of that. Did I hear you correctly the last time we spoke that you got your 5100 installed in your other vehicle or new vehicle, or you're replacing just using the HT or what?
Yes, indeed. I did buy a second 5100. And last week I installed it in my vehicle and replaced the very cheap Chinese mobile rig that I had in there. And it is so much nicer. Really, really digging it.
Yep, I understand that people buy HTs and try to make it an everything radio, and it just isn't. You know, and from an overall operating standpoint, you know, you buy a mobile, you can use it in the house, you can use it in the car. You put some, what do I want to say? You know, the quick disconnect kind of things, the power poles on it. You know, just a full-size radio, full-size display, 10 watts audio instead of 600 milliwatts, a real speaker, you know, it's just the way to go. And if you really want to get carried away, you know, you make sure you do the wiring correctly and give yourself an external speaker and an amplified speaker, you know, remote the thing away. It spoils you forever.
Yeah, one of my bugaboos about the 5100 as I'm sitting here at my desk listening to the fan cruising along is that, but with that main part of the radio beneath the front seat, I don't even hear it anymore in the truck, which is great. And then having, you know, the touch screen, which is nice and big on the 5100, up on the, you know, on the dashboard where I can see it and manipulate it easily. And, you know, I drive a Toyota 4Runner, and, boy, space is at a premium in the cockpit of that vehicle. There is almost nowhere to put anything, and everything's a compromise. And I think I've got it done pretty good. But I did a good job with the wiring and hid it all underneath all of the trim pieces and tucked it away so it's not obvious. And the head unit is mounted on a couple of rare earth magnets on its mount so I can pop it off really easy and tuck it away somewhere from prying eyes if I'm not, you know, super confident about where I'm parking the vehicle. So, yeah, it's all good. I'm really pleased with it.
If I remember correctly, didn't you have, like, some sort of a hatch mount or lip mount on the tailgate or on the rear hatch? You're not still using a magnet, are you?
Yeah, I had a lip mount and really didn't care for it. I didn't like the way that it stuck out and was snaggable. So I did try a mag mount for a while, but it was not a very good one, and it, you know, ended up getting water intrusion on it, so I tossed it. And I went out, I think it's a Comet mag mount. It's got a great big wide footprint, and it's got an NMO mount on it, so I can put any antenna on it that I want. And the cabling is a lot better than the one that I had before, and I found a way to route it through my tailgate so that it doesn't get pinched whenever I open and close the tailgate. So I'm happy with the mag mount that I've got. I think it's great. I run through the car wash with my little quarter wave antenna on top of it and never have to deal with it, and it works awesome. I can pick up this repeater system everywhere I go now.
Is that one of those real kind of oversized brown plastics? I have one just like it, only mine is, assuming we're talking about the same thing, it's probably about a 5 or maybe even a 6-inch magnet. I had a problem going, the last time I went downstate, it was a super windy, you know, 35, 40 mile an hour wind gust, and I'm driving, you know, 75, 80, and the stupid thing twice between, you know, here and Detroit, it literally blew right over and blew off the roof, and it's banging around by the cable. I'm lucky it didn't break a window with it. It really kind of pissed me off, but I don't know what year your vehicle is, but you know what I'm going to say. And I need to take my own advice because I haven't done it yet, but I got my hole saw sitting right there. I'm just waiting for kind of the right day. And then the question is, you know, do I just put one or do I just flight it and do two or three? So the other thought, and I will qualify what I just said, you know, there is a very good, as much as I hate to get rid of the vehicle, because number one, I just got it. Number two, it's such low miles, but I'm probably going to be looking for a three-quarter ton, so maybe I'll just drag my feet on the whole thing.
What do you need a three-quarter ton for? You got something big that you're going to, tow?
Yeah, a 31-foot camper.
Oh yeah, Palace on Wheels. Yeah, that'll be nice to have a three-quarter ton. Is it a travel trailer or a fifth wheel?
No, it's a bumper pull. I'm not really a fifth-wheel guy, but people say once you do, you never go back. There's really only two redeeming qualities for a fifth wheel for me, and I mean I could find something used, like I've been, you know, like the three campers I've ever owned have all used. But the one thing is the turning radius is just, you know, unbeatable. And two is the ceiling height. You know, even the older ones, the ceiling heights far exceeds any sort of tow behind. But mine, I just, we got rid of our 24-foot and bought a 31 that had absolutely zero road miles on it. It was bought brand new by the owner, parked as a cottage. And literally never moved. Say 2011. So we went from a 2002 that we bought from the original owner, had that for 4 years. Now I went to the 2011, and you know, immediately had to replace the tires and check the wheel bearings and whatnot. But the thing is, really like new. It's got such little use on it. I just couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. The only problem about going to a three-quarter ton, though, is they ride like a truck.
I'm sorry, I missed. The only problem with what?
I said the biggest problem about going to a three-quarter ton is they ride like a truck.
Yeah. Yes. My son-in-law has one. He has a 20-point.
Between the stock low slung 1500 and going to a three quarter, but if it doesn't pull your Palace on Wheels, then yeah, I guess you gotta make the jump at some point, and you know, feel confident on the road when you're gonna need it.
Well, the Shakeout Cruise, the new camper in the fall, we got it. Scout Cruise was down to practically Muskegon between Ludington and Muskegon, and it did just fine. You know, it did just fine. Make me want to do anything funky, scare me, you know, stopping, really any acceleration issues. I can get by, but I'm going to get into conditions, I'm going to get a super windy day. I do have a nice weight hitch, which helps a lot, and I don't have any porpoising, but, you know, discretion is the better part, and, you know, when your trailer weighs more than your tow vehicle, you know, it's, and that's the situation that I'm in, you know, I mean, this is 9,000 pounds of towing. Whereas my 4 foot was only about 3,500. And it was an ultralight, and this is not. So, you know, everything's bigger. Everything's heavier. So, when we went, the real factor was when we got the second dog. You know, for the two of us and the 100-pound dog, it was fine. But when we got the second 100-pound dog, like, wow, it's cramped in here.
Light, cheap, strong. Pick any two. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit on me here. I don't know if you're getting out of range of the repeater that you're trying to connect to or where you are, but having a difficult time reading it.
I went over to the 1.9. It should be better.
Oh, yeah, crystal clear now.
Yeah, I'm getting closer to it than through the 7.4. I'm actually going to Harbor to pick something up. And was kind of hoping to do it earlier. Because I didn't really want the 5 o'clock traffic coming back, but, you know, it's a weekday. And there's no snow, and it's light till, my God, it's light till almost 8 o'clock now. Hallelujah. Looking forward to Xenia. It's only 8 weeks away. Gotta get my stuff prepped for that. Already have all our reservations and spaces and stuff. It's just pulling things together for the trip and not wanting to wait till the last minute.
So is that the Dayton Hamfest, or is there another event you're going to in Xenia? By the way, most people don't know where Xenia, Ohio is, if that's what we're talking about. I actually did a bicycle tour through Ohio. And Xenia was one of the areas that we rode through, and the hub of their bike paths down there, their Rails to Trails system, was very impressive and very enjoyable. I really like that area of Ohio.
That's a nice little town if the tornadoes leave it alone. Yeah, it's, you know, it's still the Dayton Hamvention because of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association puts it on, but it's nowhere near Dayton now. It's in Xenia.
Cool, when is that?
The second or third full weekend in May. Like, I think we're going down on the Thursday, which I think is the 14th. So it's probably the 15th, 16th, 17th. We always go a day ahead. Because we are flea market vendors, so you can get in a day ahead and you get the kind of the swap before the swap, you know. And it's just, you know, we just try to maximize the experience and not have to rush. And we've been planning it this way for at least the last 10 years, maybe longer. You know, we started out when we were kids. We'd do it, drive down in the morning, come back the same day. Then we got to where we'd go, start to stay the night. You know, we'd go Friday, drive down early Friday, stay the night, go back to the swap on Saturday, and then drive home. They probably did that for 10 years, you know, and then just got to the point where we made a weekend out of it, then we made a long weekend out of it. I would suspect if I die, we might make a longer weekend out of it.
Yeah, that's the way that stuff evolves. Christy and I will be heading down to Western North Carolina for our spring vacation. Renting a place in the mountains for about 10 days. It's going to be awesome. Well, we'll rent a place in the mountains in West North Carolina for about 5 days, and then we're going to go over and explore Chattanooga for a while, so that'll be another 5 days. But yeah, same thing. It's 13 hours down there, and back in the day, we'd just power through it. Now it's like, you know what, let's not get up too early in the morning. Let's leave at a normal time. And we'll just drive till we're tired, and then we'll find a place to stay, and then we'll get up and, you know, diddy-bop into town the next day. It's no big deal.
Right. Right. You get past the point of having to prove anything to anybody, especially yourself. My destination is in sight, sir, but it's just a run-in, pick-up, run-out. So give me a few minutes, I'll be back. W8RPM.
Okay, BCW standing by.
W8RPM.